Well, this federal election race could be about to tighten, the Liberal Party landing a potentially valuable preference deal with Clive Palmer. Under the deal, to be confirmed on Monday, Clive Palmer's United Australia Party will place the Libs ahead of Labor on how to vote cards, with the aim of helping the coalition ring-fence a number of its most marginal seats, particularly in Queensland. In turn, this swap could see the businessman return to Parliament as a kingmaker in the Senate. The United Australia Party already has one senator, Brian Burston, who defected from One Nation in June last year. Senator Burston, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
This preference deal could have far-reaching consequences. Why are you doing it?
Well, I'm not privy to any preference negotiations. I'm reading in the newspaper and listening to your program, the potential deals that are being mooted at the moment. I also note that allegedly United Australia Party are in secret negotiations with Labor, so I'm not sure where they're at the moment. I'm not privy to any decision made by the party itself.
Okay, well, looks like, I mean, according to all reports, this deal will be announced on Monday, but it has been done. There was a news poll this week that showed the UAP polling strongly in a number of marginal coalition seats, as high as 14% primary vote in some Queensland seats. Now, that's a long way from a winning position by itself, but UAP is running in all 151 lower house seats. Do you think you will win any? Is that the calculation?
According to our polling, we could potentially win a few lower house seats.
How many?
Well, I wouldn't like to put a number on. That's up to the voters of Australia, obviously, but very hard to pick with many types of parties running, particularly on the right and particularly in Queensland. So I think we may pick up one or two Queensland seats, perhaps a couple in New South Wales, but certainly we'll pick up a handful of Senate seats on our polling.
Okay, so one or two Queensland seats in the lower house, what, up in North Queensland, seats like Herbert, is that what you're looking at?
Oh, Herbert's a potential win, but it's probably unlikely, but we're in the mix. Certainly other seats that people in Queensland would be more expert in predicting than I.
Okay. What about, you say, a handful in the Senate? What are you looking at? Clive Palmer is running in the Senate. Is he going to join you in the upper house? Is that the calculation?
Oh, I think so. I think there'll be a number joining me in the...
How many?
I would say up to six on our
six?
Polling. We're polling double figures in most states. And the news poll is understated as far as our polling is concerned. We're doing a national poll again today. So our polling is very scientific. It's targeted. And we target our advertising to perhaps boost numbers in various areas of Australia. So we're doing it in a very structured way, and it's bearing results according to our polling.
You mentioned the advertising. It's fair to say that the United Australia Party wouldn't be in the running for any seats if Clive Palmer hadn't bankrolled a $30 million advertising blitz. That's fair to say, isn't it?
No, it's probably fair to say. It's a little bit hypothetical. Who would know unless... We saw the other end of that that scenario where there was no advertising, but certainly consistent advertising does bear results. That's why McDonald's and Domino's and Woolworths and so on do that. Sorry to name businesses on your program, but that's the idea.
But buying pizzas is a bit different than buying votes, isn't it?
I don't think we're buying votes. We're just putting in the minds of Australians our policies and what we hope to do for Australia should we get the numbers to do so.
Some Labor figures we read were also hoping to land a preference deal with the UAP. Why is it the preference of the party to work with the coalition and not Labor?
Well, I'm not sure we are, but I would think that I would preference Liberals over Labor, personally.
Why is that?
Well, because of the proposed changes to the taxation system by Labor, penalising those who have worked hard during their life and are on a higher income level at the moment. We should also look after lower income earners as well. I don't like the attack on the superannuation by Labor. We're taking about $36 billion over the next 10 years, I think it is, from memory, from the system. And it's a moving goalpost all the time, the franking credits. So I don't support the change into that that area by Labor, and nor, what do you call it, the...
Capital gains.
Thanks.
Are you saying that this preference deal is based on policies, not on strategy? Because strategically, of course, if the coalition wins, it benefits the UAP the most, in the sense the coalition would need to rely on conservative elements in the Senate for the balance of power, whereas a Labor government most likely be relying on the Greens and perhaps Centre Alliance.
Yes, so I don't think Centre Alliance are going to preference anyone.
I'm thinking about voting in the Senate, once people are in the Senate itself.
Oh, sorry, yes. Well, I think it's going to be a more conservative Senate, so you're probably right that the conservative side of the Senate will not support quite a number of Labor's policies and agenda. But I think they should have a honeymoon period if they're elected a government. I think they should be given the opportunity to introduce and perhaps have supported some of their mandated policies.
But, so things like the negative gearing, are you saying that? Well, I mean, Labor says they'd have a mandate for it. They've been out on it for 3 years.
Within reason. I would want some changes to that, not cut it totally, but perhaps phase it in, grandfather it. There's many areas that could be amended in their policy, and that's what we'll be looking at.
What about Clive Palmer himself? He personally has major coal interests in the Galilee Basin. If the coalition's elected, the Adani mine will go ahead, the Galilee Basin more likely to be further developed. He has a lot to gain personally, doesn't he, if the coalition wins?
I think a lot of businesses have got a lot to gain personally with the election of a coalition government, a re-election.
Yes, but he would be in a position perhaps in the Senate to make a difference.
Oh, well, I mean...
And also just giving preferences to the coalition to help them have a better chance of being elected.
No, I don't think Clive's in it for his own interests. I think he's in it for the interests of Australia. That's why we say put Australia first. And I think we're going to achieve the extraordinary after the election, because we'll have the numbers to ensure that's the case, in the Senate particularly. I don't think Clive's putting his self-interest first. He's extremely wealthy. He's the 13th richest man in Australia. And he's got royalties coming in quite quickly from Western Australia. And any development for North Queensland, Galilee Basin, well, that's probably a bonus for him, but I don't think that's in his foremost in his mind at the moment.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 17 minutes to 8. Our guest is Senator Brian Burston. He's a UAP senator for New South Wales. There's still a lot of anger towards Clive Palmer in Townsville for failing to pay the redundancy entitlements to hundreds of workers at Queensland Nickel when it collapsed 3 years ago. He has now said he'll pay this money after the election. But why would people trust him to do the right thing? It's been 3 years. He owes the workers themselves $7 million. He owes the government $66 million.
Oh, well, $66 million is part of a current litigation, so I wouldn't comment on that. The $7 million he's paid into a trust fund, that money is now out of his control. It's in control of those who...
But why did he wait till he was trying to win an election to do that?
Oh, I think it's the impact of the natural disaster, particularly the flood in Townsville. The man's got a very kind heart, and I've got to know him quite well, and his heart's in the right place for Australia.
Do you think those nickel workers think, that refinery workers think he has a kind heart? They've been waiting for their money?
Well, you've got to look at the fact that when the nickel refinery closed, Clive didn't close it because he wanted to. The nickel price around the world collapsed dramatically. And every refinery in the world, nickel refinery in the world, was either closed or put on standby. And you've got to remember, Clive bought this refinery off BHP. They were going to close it. And he saved the jobs of those workers and gave them 6.5 years of further employment. They subsequently lost their jobs, but they still had 6.5 years of further employment because Clive bought that and rescued that refinery. So you can look at both sides of the story, the negative side or the positive. I see that one as the positive side.
Okay. Can I just ask you finally, a few listeners writing in to say, what's the UAP's climate policy? Would you support Labor's policies if they were elected?
We wouldn't support the 45% target because that's going to impact on many, many jobs, particularly in the aluminium refinery business. They would have to close down because they just simply couldn't meet the target if they were included. If they're exempted, then it's puts into the policy into a bit of a farcical situation where they're,
Senator Burston, thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, thanks, Ren.
Brian Burston is a senator for New South Wales for the United Australia Party. Earlier, I was speaking with Senator Brian Burston from the United Australia Party. A number of you have pointed this out to me. He was talking about a preference deal with the coalition and the prospect of a Labor government and policies like negative gearing. Senator Burston said, I'd like to see some amendments, perhaps phase it in and have it grandfathered. And of course, as a number of you have mentioned, I should have picked him up on that. It is, Labor's policy is to grandfather its negative gearing policy.